The Shabbos last week, so the topic today is a Rosh Chodesh related topic, and I wanted to speak specifically about the concept of reciting Hallel on Rosh Chodesh and a little bit about Hallel itself, being that it seems to be relevant. So it's interesting to note that the Gemara itself is very, very clear about the fact that we do not recite Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. The Gemara goes through a series of different days on which Hallel was supposed to be recited, and the Gemara makes it clear that one of those days is not Rosh Chodesh. Nonetheless, the Gemara also indicates that there was a long-standing custom to recite Hallel on Rosh Chodesh that goes back to the very beginning of the Jewish settlement in Bavel, when the Jews started settling in Bavel and started establishing yeshivos there, which was at the beginning of the period of the Amoraim. The Gemara indicates that there was a minog, there was a custom there to start reciting Hallel on Rosh Chodesh, and that minog continues to this very day. There's a great deal of discussion as to whether the Hallel on Rosh Chodesh should be preceded and followed by a bracha. Right? In other words, we typically, when we recite Hallel on days other than Rosh Chodesh, when we recite Hallel on Yom Tovim or in Hanukkah and the like, Hallel is always preceded by a bracha and followed by a bracha. What about Hallel on Rosh Chodesh? So here we have a number of different opinions. So the Shulchan Aruch writes as follows. This is the Shulchan Aruch Siman Tov Chof Beis. Shulchan Aruch writes, the Koran Hallel the Dilug, our practices are on that Rosh Chodesh. We read what's called Chafi Hallel. We omit two of the paragraphs of Hallel. Again, we'll speak about that in a little bit, why those two paragraphs. Zayn V'yachid, Zayn V'tzibur. We do that whether the Hallel is being recited by an individual, whether the Hallel is being recited by the Tzibur. The Yesh Omrim, some say, Shehat Tzibur Mevarchin Allah V'tchilo L'kro Es HaHallel V'Sochi HaHallelucha. Some say that when Hallel is being recited by the congregation, so they first recite the Bracha before the Hallel, then they recite the Bracha V'HaHallelucha after Hallel. The Hayachid Eino Mevarich Allah. However, an individual who's just reciting Hallel by himself, does not recite the bracha before or after the Hallel, right? So there's a difference. Again, one opinion in Shulchan Aruch is that there's a difference between the congregation reciting Hallel together versus the individual reciting Hallel by himself. The Yesh Omrim, Sha'af HaTzibur En Levarach Alav Lo L'Tchila Lo L'Sof. Some say that it's Tzibur as well, that a congregation as well does not recite the bracha, not beforehand and not afterwards. V'zeh Da'at HaRambam. This is the opinion of the Rambam. The Rambam says that we do not recite a bracha before or afterwards. V'chei Na'agin B'chol Malchus Eretz Yisrael L'Tzibur Seho. And that is the practice throughout all of Eretz Yisrael and throughout all of the countries that surround Eretz Yisrael. I should give a little bit of explanation, then we'll understand what's going on over here. So the Rambam's position is that we don't recite although we have this custom of reciting Hallel on Rosh Chodesh, we don't recite a bracha beforehand, we don't recite a bracha afterwards. And the Shulchan Aruch notes that in his time, in the 1500s, the position of the Rambam was followed throughout Eretz Yisrael and throughout all of the countries around Eretz Yisrael. Why wouldn't you recite a bracha on Rosh Chodesh, on the Hallel of Rosh Chodesh? The truth is, if you think about it, on the surface, that actually makes a lot of sense. Because Hallel on Rosh Chodesh, again, as we said, is a minhag, it's a custom. And since when would we recite a bracha over the performance of a custom? I mean, just to make it a little bit ridiculous, if you sit down Friday night to have a piece of gefilte fish, and that's always been your custom, you know, nobody would think for a moment that you'd recite a bracha before eating the gefilte fish. You know, just because it's a minhag, just because we've always done it this way, doesn't mean that it deserves the bracha. So if Hallel on Rosh Chodesh is also, quote-unquote, just a minhag, So it shouldn't get a bracha either. I mean, how can you make a bracha? Asher ki deshanu v'mitzvoto v'tzivanu v'kirala t'hallel, that God commanded us to read Hallel, when it's not true. I mean, God did not command us to read Hallel. Even the rabbis didn't command us to read Hallel. It's, quote unquote, merely a minhag, merely a custom that has been adapted at this point by the entire Jewish people. So that is the position of the Rambam. And again, it's noted, Shulchan Aruch notes that in his time, in the 1500s, that was the common custom in Eretz Yisrael and the countries around Eretz Yisrael. To this day, that is the minhag of the Sfaradim. The Sfaradim do not, although they recite Hallel on Rosh Chodesh, they do not recite a bracha on the Hallel, not beforehand and not afterwards. Again, their argument is, it's a minhag, it's a custom. It's not a din d'oraisa, it's not a din d'rabbanan, it's not a Torah law, it's not a rabbinic law, and as a custom, so it doesn't, it should not have a bracha attached to it. However, the Ramah writes, V'yesh omrim, v'gam yochid mevarech alav. Some say that no, when an individual recites Hallel, he does make a bracha on it, and that's true. Not only if the tzibur, not only if the congregation recites Hallel, that they make a bracha on it, but even somebody who's davening b'yichidus, even somebody davening by themselves, recites the bracha before and after Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. V'chein nagin b'mdino seilu. And says the Ramah lived in Krakow, that's our custom in these countries, in Poland and the Ashkenazi countries. That is indeed the practice of Ashkenazim today, as opposed to Sfaradim, that we do recite a bracha before and after Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. Again, as the Ramah writes, whether it's a tzibur saying Hallel, or whether it's even just the yachid, just an individual saying Hallel. Wait a minute, if Hallel is really just a minhag, and that's the whole reason that the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch say that you shouldn't make a bracha on it. So how come the Ramah and the Ashkenazim is so quick to make a bracha? Well, the Ramah would say that when you sit down and have your gefilte fish Friday night, that's your minhag, and you do make a bracha on the eating of the gefilte fish. That doesn't sound very reasonable. So why would you make a bracha on Hallel? So here the Brisker Rav, Rav Soloveitchik, explained that Hallel is a minhag. But as he terms it, it's a chetza shel mitzvah, as opposed to being a chetza shel minhag. Let me translate those words, and then we'll explain what they mean. Said the Brisker Rav, Hallel on Rosh Chodesh is a mitzvah item. It's not a minhag item. So what does that mean? So basically, what the Brisker Rav meant with that terminology, although it sounds very technical, he just really meant the following. We never make a bracha on a minhag that is just a custom that we do. But when we have something which is already a mitzvah in a different context, and just the minhag is to extend it from its original context to other contexts, so then we do have the right to make a bracha on such a minhag. In the case of Hallel, Hallel isn't like a, you know, saying Hallel on Rosh Chodesh is not a pure invention. It's not like, you know, gefilte fish. That doesn't have, there's no point during the year where we would ever have a mitzvah to eat gefilte fish. Hallel, during certain days, is a mitzvah to recite. So all we're doing is we're just extending the mitzvah. In other words, we're taking something that in a different context is a mitzvah, and just moving it to another context as a minhag. You know, we have a custom to extend it to the context of Rosh Chodesh. And because that, says the Ramah, we do have the right to make a bracha, and we do make a bracha on such a recitation. Now, there's one more thing that the Ramah adds over here. The Ramah writes, Yikomokom yizar adam l'kosh t'tzibur k'te levarach alavim atzibur. As much as we're allowed to, according to the Ashkenazi practice, we do say Hallel on Rosh Chodesh, and we do make a bracha on the Hallel of Rosh Chodesh, and we do that even when we're davening the Yechidus. However, if you can, it's a good idea to try to say Hallel together with the congregation when they're saying Hallel, so as to be able to make a bracha together with the tzibur. Why is that so important? So there are opinions that say that although we recite a bracha on the Hallel of Rosh Chodesh, we only do so when it's being done with the tzibur, when it's being read in the context of the congregation, and an individual would not. So therefore, even though we say an individual can, it would be better if you try to do it at the same time when the tzibur is saying Hallel, to kind of get those opinions that say that the bracha over challah would only be recited in the community context. Since this is a women's shiur, let's talk about how this is relevant to women. Right? So let's try to just take the basic ideas and bring it down to women for a moment. So if you're a Sfaradit, right, if you're a Sfaradic woman, so the fact is, it's not to say a bracha before or after challah on Rosh Chodesh. If you are an Ashkenazi woman, so again, strictly speaking, the Ramah says that you can say halal even if you're davening by yourself, and you can make a bracha before and after the halal even if you're davening by yourself. However, you know, if you'd want to come to shul on a Rosh Chodesh, and you see that they're about to say halal around the time you walk into shul, it's a good idea to say halal together with them and then come back to the earlier parts of the davening, you know, when you get a chance. In other words, strictly speaking, you can say halal by yourself and make a bracha on it, and that's fine. However, if it's not difficult, if you happen to be in shul anyway, and you walk into shul, and right when you walk into shul, they start saying halal, so it's worthwhile to wait on whatever you were going to say afterwards, say halal together with the tzibur, recite the brachas with the tzibur before and afterwards, and you know that would be the best way of practicing in order to bring your halal on Rosh Chodesh specifically together with the tzibur. So we mentioned that halal is the recitation of halal on Rosh Chodesh is a minug. So where did this minug come from? Why do we have this particular custom? There's a beautiful explanation that Rosh Hashanah Kol Hirsh gives in his Siddur, where Rav Hirsch says as follows. We know that halal is typically recited to mark things that are miraculous. Says Rav Hirsch, one of the greatest miracles is the survival of the Jewish people. Right? One of the greatest miracles out there is the survival of the Jewish people. So Rosh Chodesh, on a monthly basis, commemorates the fact that no matter what happens to the Jewish people, we are, so to speak, the comeback kid. You know, we always come back, we always get up from the ground, even when we've had a terrible, terrible historical experience, even when we've been subjected to anti-Semitism and persecution, all these sort of things, you know, you can never keep us down. We'll always come back and we'll always, you know, manage to come out on top, even after everything happens to us. Why is that? Why is that linked to Rosh Chodesh? So we know the Midrashim say that the Klal Yisrael are compared to the moon. Just as the moon waxes and then wanes and then disappears, so Klal Yisrael is, you know, our history is very much like that as well. We have periods where everything is looking up, and then we have periods where everything is waning and it looks like it's disappearing. And Rosh Chodesh represents where the moon reappears after a few days of having been gone altogether. It's symbolic, again, of the revival of the Jewish people, the inability to totally destroy Klal Yisrael, even when it looks like we've disappeared. We're back again a few days later. So Sefer HaFirsh, the halal that was recited on Rosh Chodesh, is all about the reappearance of the Jewish people and the fact that the Jewish people can never die. I wanted to suggest another explanation as to what the idea is behind halal on Rosh Chodesh. And as beautiful as Rav Hirsch's explanation is, perhaps just to add to it a little bit, based on another way of looking at it. The Ramban, in his comments on the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos, writes that although when we recite halal on Rosh Chodesh, it's only a minug, it's only a custom, there was one place where the recitation of halal on Rosh Chodesh was not only not a minug, it was actually a din d'oraisa. It was actually a law that came from the Torah itself. Says the Ramban, when the Beit HaMikdash stood, so the recitation of halal in the Beit HaMikdash was a law that came from the Torah itself. Well, it came from the Torah itself. Where do you see in the Chumash that there's even an idea to say halal altogether? You tell me it's a din d'oraisa, that it's a Torah-based law to recite halal on Rosh Chodesh in the Beit HaMikdash. How do I know there's ever a concept of reciting halal according to Torah law? The simple explanation is that the recitation of halal, in general, is only a din d'rabbanan, and it's only a rabbinic law. So the Ramban quotes in Sefer Bamidbar, So he said every time, Sukkot also, Sukkot, Pesach, Shavuot, it would always be Daraisa, but on Rosh Chodesh, it would also be Daraisa, but only in the Mikdash, only in the Beis HaMikdash. Where does that come from? So, in Parashat Balosh, Perek Yud, Pasuk Yud, it says, Uv'yom Simchaschem Uv'moladechem Voshechad Shechem, on the days of your happiness, on Yom Tovim and on Rosh Chodesh, you should blow the trumpet in the Beis HaMikdash when you bring the korbanos. And the blowing of the trumpets on these days, the Yom Tovim and Rosh Chodesh, should be a source of remembrance for you before the Ribono Shel Olam. So that's what you do. You blow the trumpets on Rosh Chodesh. Said the Ramban, can't be that they would just blow the trumpets without words, because I guess he wasn't into instrumentals, you know. You can't just have trumpets without some words to accompany the trumpets, because otherwise that's just trumpets, that's not so meaningful. So on Yom Tovim and Rosh Chodesh, the blowing of the trumpets, says the Ramban, is really the Torah's backhand way of saying you should blow trumpets, but you should also have musical accompaniment. You should also have words that are accompanying the blowing of the trumpets. What are those words? So the Torah is telling us that on Rosh Chodesh and on the Yom Tovim there's a mitzvah to, in the mikdash, to play instruments, to play trumpets, and to recite the words of Hallel to accompany the recitation, the blowing of those trumpets. So said the Ramban, although nowadays we the recitation of Hallel is not even a din derabanan, it's merely a minhag, as we said before. But when the Beis HaMikdash stood, part of the way Rosh Chodesh was observed in the Beis HaMikdash with the bringing of Karbanos was blowing the trumpets, and together with the trumpets would be the recitation of Hallel. There's a beautiful vort based on the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh, which is based on this Ramban, and I think it's particularly relevant to mention at this time of year. For a minute, I'll mention in a moment. For a reason, I'll mention in a moment. So, again, as many of us remember, it was just 2 years ago, they had the horrific pigua, the horrific terrorist attack in Harnof, right around this time of year. I think it was just the 25th of Maheshvan, which we observed this past week. And one of the kedoshim who was killed in that terrorist attack was Harav Hagon Rav Moshe Twersky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. An incredible individual, Market Shir, Yeshiva Saras Nosh, and Eretz Yisrael. So this was the summer of Twersky, and I think it's worthwhile to mention today, because it's relevant to Rosh Chodesh as well as being an Eloi Neshama. So if you said Musaf today, or you plan on saying Musaf today, so there's a line in the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh that goes as follows. It says, Mizbeach Chodosh B'tzion Tochen, right, in the paragraph that begins Rosh Chodoshim, right, Mizbeach Chodosh B'tzion Tochen, you Hashem should set up a new altar in Tzion, Ba'olos Rosh Chodesh Na'ale Olav, and we will offer up the carbon of Rosh Chodesh on it, Usira even Nasa the Rosh, we will bring the goats, which was the carbon Chakos, the sin offering of Rosh Chodesh, and with the avoda, the divine service in the Beis HaMikdash, we will all rejoice. And we will also rejoice with those songs of David your servant, which are heard in your city, which are said before your Mizbeach. What does that last line mean? We will rejoice with the songs of David that are heard in your city and that will be said before your Mizbeach. What's that a reference to? So much as worse be said, this line of the davening is actually based on the Ramban's opinion that Hallel would be a din de'oraisa when the Beis HaMikdash stood. So how do you understand this line? When the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, we will then sing the Shirei David. We'll then sing the songs of David before your Mizbeach, before your altar. Which Shirei David are we talking about? Hallel. Hallel was composed by David HaMelech as part of Tehillim. So right now, those songs of David are Nishma'im V'Irecha. They're heard in your city. They're heard in your city because we say Hallel as a minog on Rosh Chodesh. But when the Beit HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt, those Shirei David are going to be Amurim L'Shem Zechecha. Those songs of David HaMelech, those songs of Hallel, will be recited before the Mizbeach as part of the fulfillment of the idea that Hallel on Rosh Chodesh is a Din D'Oraisa, is a law that comes from the Torah itself. So this idea from the Ramban, Sefer Moshe Tversky, is really in the words of the bracha of the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh, which we recite every Rosh Chodesh. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. I mean, the truth is, there's really very little in Mishnayos about how they brought the karbonos of Rosh Chodesh and the Yom Tovim all together. I mean, it's very little was religious talk about that. Expressly, there isn't even a Masechta that really talks about how they dealt with Rosh Chodesh. So I guess there's a paucity of information. So the Ramban feels that, you know, based on the Sukkim, you know, it must be that they were doing this thing. I guess that's how you understand. So if that's the case, so our recitation of Hallel on Rosh Chodesh is actually, in a certain sense, a Zecher LaMikdash. The first said that the reason we recite Hallel on Rosh Chodesh is to commemorate the miracle which is the survival of the Jewish people. But we can say, you know, perhaps a little bit differently based on this Ramban. When we recite Hallel on Rosh Chodesh, the reason that we have that minog is to recall the way things were done in the Beis HaMikdash and to fill us with a sense of yearning for the restoration of the Beis HaMikdash. So, again, we know there are many, many things that we do in Jewish life in order to connect us to the Beis HaMikdash and the way things used to be. Perhaps reciting Hallel on Rosh Chodesh falls into that category, according to the Ramban, because we are hearkening back to the way things were done, you know, in the Beis HaMikdash so many years ago. According to that explanation, it becomes easier to understand why, according to Ashkenazi practice, we make a bracha on the Hallel of Rosh Chodesh. If you tell me that our reciting Hallel on Rosh Chodesh is always a minhag, meaning there was never a time in history where they ever said Hallel on Rosh Chodesh as a bona fide chiyuv, that is a bona fide obligation. It was always just a custom. It was always just something, you know, that we took upon ourselves. You know, so it's a little bit harder to understand what entitles us to make a bracha on that. But if you tell me, you know, that once upon a time when the Beis HaMikdash stood, they said Hallel, not just as a din, but a din d'oraisa. In other words, they felt a Torah obligation to recite Hallel on Rosh Chodesh in the Beis HaMikdash. So did they make a bracha on it then? I assume so. I assume, you know, why shouldn't they have made a bracha on Hallel on the Beis HaMikdash? Presumably they didn't make a bracha on Hallel on the Beis HaMikdash. So all we're doing really is continuing what they did in the, what they did in the Beis HaMikdash. You know, so it's easier to understand how if they made a bracha, we can feel entitled to make a bracha as well. Just to add to this, maybe this is why the minog of saying Hallel on Rosh Chodesh began in Babylonia, as documented by the Gemara. You know, the Gemara says that Rav was the first major Talmid Chacham who came to Babel and established yeshivos there. So when he walked into a shul, on Rosh Chodesh, he was surprised to find the people reciting Hallel on Rosh Chodesh, because he had never seen it before. And the people explained to him that, no, this is our minhag. We have a custom to say Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. Okay, it's your minhag. You know, rule number one, when you walk into a shul, never start when they tell you this is our minhag. Right? Even if it seems to be silly, even if it seems to be strange, they tell you it's their minhag. You know, so that's exactly, okay, I'm not going to start up. You know, most shuls, you could leave out a substantial part of davening, but if you start up with the minhagim of the shul, how can they? You know, they'll take your head off, you know, in no time whatsoever. So they told Rav that our minhag here in Babylonia is to say Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. So apparently, as the Gemara documents, that's when they started saying Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. Why Babel of all places? Right. So again, Babel epitomizes the galus and the distance from the Beis HaMikdash. So perhaps it was Davka and Bavel, because they felt the sense of being distanced from the Beis HaMikdash, distanced from Eretz Yisrael, distanced from what they knew was once upon a time a practice that existed in the Beis HaMikdash to say Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. Perhaps they felt a special need to reconnect to that idea of saying Hallel on Rosh Chodesh, to reconnect to that idea that was originally part of the Mikdash. And, you know, that's what motivated them to adapt this particular practice. Right? So those are all, that's an alternative way of looking at the Hallel of Rosh Chodesh. When we say Hallel on Rosh Chodesh, on some level we're really connecting back to the Beis HaMikdash, we're recalling the way things were in the Beis HaMikdash, and we're trying to envision in our mind's eye what the glory and the joy that must have been, extant to the Beis HaMikdash, you know, even on what we consider to be such a low-level holiday, you know, like the holiday of Rosh Chodesh itself. How do we actually recite Hayas Hallel? So, as we know, there are two paragraphs that are left out from our Hallel Lolanu and our Hazzi. Why those two paragraphs? What do those two paragraphs do wrong, you know, to get dropped from the Hallel on Rosh Chodesh? So here I want to put out, we have exactly a minute left, so here I want to put out what really requires probably a follow-up shiur at some point, but I just want to throw an idea out there, and then perhaps as a Hashem we'll get a chance to develop it. The truth is, if you read the text of Hallel, there's a lot in Hallel which is not so happy. Right? We think Hallel, Hallel is a joyous, happy, recitation. There are a lot of sukkim in Hallel which are not particularly upbeat. Yakar be'enei Hashem hamav salach hasidach. Right? Precious or grievous, depending on how you translate it, in the eyes of Hashem is when his pious ones pass away. Okay, not exactly like a shum for joy, at the passing of the chassidim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Or, in much of, quote a couple of other ones, HaKofuni Chevle Maves, U'mitzarei She'ol Mitzauni, I'm surrounded by the throes of death, the tightness of the grave has found me. Sorrow of the yogon emsa, right? I am found out by woe and by agony, right? You can't really see MVD, coming up with a song to those particular words. Maybe after a certain point you run out of words, so you have to find new songs. Okay, but sorrow of the yogon emsa, I will find woe and agony. It doesn't sound so good. So there's also something like that in Hallel. So if you think about it, and again, this requires a lot more time than we have now to really talk about it, but if you think about it, really what Hallel is saying is not that everything in life is always good, but whatever happens to me in life, I feel reassured because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with me. That's really the theme of Hallel. If you look at Hallel carefully, the theme of Hallel is, no matter what happens, good, bad, or indifferent, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with me. If you look at those two paragraphs which we take out by Chatzi Hallel, we say Hallel and Rosh Chodesh, those are the most down paragraphs of the entire Hallel. Those are the paragraphs, by and in large, which talk about how things are not as good. Right? Lo lanu and ahavti. Again, you'll have a little bit of exceptions to that here and there, but by and large, if you had to take out of Hallel the paragraphs to talk about how things are difficult, it's those paragraphs which contain it. So in other words, what we do on Rosh Chodesh is basically we remove from Hallel those paragraphs which talk about how God is with me even when things are bad, and we focus instead on those paragraphs which talk about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with me when things are good. The Hallel of Rosh Chodesh is actually a much more upbeat Hallel because it's Chatzi Hallel, just in terms of its theme, than the Hallel, which is recited during the rest of the year, which combines elements of things are bad and things are good, but no matter what it is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always going to be with me. Again, that requires a lot more elucidation, and we'll save it for another shiur down the line about Hallel in general, but just as a little ha'ara, as a little note about, you know, why it is that dafka, those two paragraphs, are removed from the Chafti Hallel of Rosh Chodesh. As I said, next week we're back to the 10:15 schedule. I appreciate your indulgence in changing things a little bit, and as I said, we'll see everybody then.
Thank you.
Thank you.